Vanakkam. Good afternoon to our dear Facebook viewers. So today is September 29th, World Heart Day, and I'm really happy and it's an immense pleasure to invite you all to this session with our extreme expertise cardiologist involved in this panel discussion. Let me take the pleasure in introducing our panelists today. Our chief cardiologist, Dr. K.P. Suresh Kumar, sir. Sir, good afternoon, sir. Dr. Anand Raman, who's our senior intervention cardiologist. And Dr. Sujit, our cardiothoracic surgeon. Good afternoon, sir. And Dr. Manoj, our senior intervention cardiologist.
Vanakkam.
Vanakkam, sir. So, today being the World Heart Day, it is a global campaigning to increase the awareness about the heart disease in the public. So let me start the session. Dr. K.P. Suresh Kumar, sir. Why is there this global campaigning about heart disease awareness, sir?
Thank you, Dr. Kavita. Welcome all the viewers. Every year, 29th of September, we are celebrating or we are observing World Heart Day. As we are aware, this is to just to increase the awareness among public about cardiovascular disease. Cardiovascular disease is the most common cause of death globally. And the death rate and the morbidity and mortality and the problems and the complications of the disease are gradually increasing. We are seeing more and more young people coming with heart disease. This is to increase the awareness of the heart disease so that people will take preventive measures. People will look at the risk scores or the risk factors and control it properly so that they can prevent the development of heart disease and they can prevent the complications and death due to heart disease. This year the theme is use your heart to connect other hearts. So that simply means that use your expertise, experience and knowledge to impart the awareness of heart disease among others so that you can reduce the death rate and the complications of this disease.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Manoj, do we see an increase in the incidence of cardiac disease in the younger age group these days? Is it a fact?
Well, I think definitely the younger generations are equally affected by the significant heart disease, particularly among Asian Indians. If you look at the world statistics, about 25% of patients are involved less than 60 years in the Caucasian as well as the European or the US population. But if you consider the Asian Indian populations, 40 to 50 years is the highest peak of coronary artery disease and heart attack, and which accounts for almost 42%. And it's a well-known figure that we all come across young patients. It's very common to see patients coming to our emergency department with heart attack or chest pain of various kinds of heart attack. I would say that the young patients are certainly clueless that it's because of the myth heart attack is a disease of people with age of 60 and beyond. And therefore, when they have chest pain, they're likely to ignore more and they're likely to be underplaying their symptoms and perhaps seek medical attention in a much more delayed manner. So there are many factors that contribute to the patients with heart disease in the younger age group, and that we'll be discussing during the course of this discussion. So I would say it's not uncommon, and we often see all the cardiologists here and cardiac surgeons also here are equally involved in treating patients with heart disease of various kinds in the young. It's not necessarily heart attack. The younger age patients also get affected by not necessarily the atherosclerosis or the cholesterol-bound disease. They are also affected by various other conditions like rheumatic heart disease, which involves the valves of the heart. They may be involved with the heart muscle disease, like infections, viral infections of the heart muscles. They can be involved with the various genetic disorders affecting the heart muscle, making the heart muscle weak, and the incidence of cardiomyopathy or heart failure can occur in the very young patients. And also there are certain electrical disturbances or arrhythmias which can lead to sudden cardiac death. And many of you, if you had watched the recent Federation Cup in the European, there was a Danish footballer who was playing in the team actively and suddenly collapsed on the field while tracking the ball. So it can happen instantaneously, and these are some of the arrhythmic deaths that will be discussed during the course of this deliberation. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Malhotra. This was a very useful topic which you just told. So in fact, as a family physician, when I see in my OPD, previously it was said that diabetes, hypertension were detected only among people who are like 50s. So Ratha Ritham plus diabetes mellitus போன்ற விதமான நோய்கள் எல்லாம் வந்துட்டு ஒரு பர்டிகுலர் ஏஜ் குரூப்ல தான் பார்த்துட்டு இருந்தோம். தட் இஸ் ஒரு 40 வயசுக்கு மேல இருக்கிறவங்களுக்கு. இப்ப பாத்தீங்கன்னா 20 இயர்ஸ் 25 இயர்ஸ் 30 இயர்ஸ்லயே வந்துட்டு டயபிட்டிஸ் ஹைபர்டென்ஷன் எல்லாம் வருது. ஸோ இஸ் இட் தட் பிகாஸ் வி ஆர் டிடெக்டிங் ஏர்லியர் பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் த லைஃப் ஸ்டைல் ஆஃப் தீஸ் பீப்புள் வி ஆர் டிடெக்டிங் இட் ஏர்லியர் அண்ட் ஹென்ஸ் ஃபோர்த் பை த டைம் தே ரீச் மிட் லைஃப் தட் இஸ் லைக் 45-50 ஆர் தே வல்னரபிள் ஃபார் கார்டியோவாஸ்குலர் டிசீசஸ்
Good morning, all viewers. Now, there are two or three different aspects that has changed over the last 2-3 decades. Especially in India, we are used to more Western diet. Especially our youngsters, they are used to more Western diet. And second thing is complete lack of any exercise, because we are used to more 2-wheelers, 4-wheelers, other kinds of modes of transport. And third thing is, outside physical activity is literally zero now, because all video games and all kind of other aspects of it. On top of all of this stress, a lot of these professionals, especially IT professionals, they get job at a very young age, they got stressed out with targets, complete lack of sleep. They work through night until 3-4 in the morning and then sleep for 2-3 hours. So what all this means is, a disturbed sleep pattern where there is not adequate 6-hour sleep, the continued stress will put them at a higher risk of blood pressure. A change in dietary habit and change in the lifestyle with complete lack of exercise will predispose them to something called metabolic syndrome. That is, they will develop diabetes because basically their insulin resistance develops early. So they will develop high sugars, that is what diabetes is. So because of these two major factors only, we are seeing heart attack at 30-35 in India, which is around 50-55 in Europe and West. So that 20 years earlier we are seeing, because of this major change, westernization and the complete sort of lack of exercise and other things in this younger population.
Yes, absolutely right. So the lifestyle has become very poor, sedentary lifestyle. Working from home. In fact, the last 2 years because of COVID, we have seen a lot of cardiac incidences on the rise. What is your opinion, sir, about this post-COVID? Has it brought down more incidences of cardiac cases?
See, there are two ways of looking at it. One, during the COVID period, the patients were reluctant to come to the hospital along with their relatives. So they used to wait at home, even if they developed an acute cardiac event. And they come to the hospital very late. So when somebody with a heart attack, when he comes to the hospital late, he develops all the complications of heart attack. So we used to see a lot of late presentations of heart attack with all the complications of the heart attack during the COVID era. Second is post-COVID. The COVID itself can affect any organ in the body, mainly the lung, pneumonitis. But it can affect the heart. It can produce clotting of the vessels which supply blood to the heart, big coronary thrombus. Or it can affect the heart muscle itself. It can produce myocarditis and cardiac failure. So we see a few cases coming with cardiac failure and heart attack post-COVID, during COVID period also.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Manoj, could you just enlighten about the symptoms and signs of cardiac disease? So ellarkume theriyum chest pain na it is causing something in the heart. But people get panic sometimes. It might be atypical pains. So what is the actual symptom and signs where should they not delay in coming to the hospital?
I think it's a very, very relevant question, and people have to be increasingly aware of the symptoms that might be signaling heart attack, which is a very critical and life-taking disease. More commonly, one would experience, if you talk about typical pain, would be in the center of the chest, and it will be like a heaviness or a burning or maybe a crushing type of sensation, and which might spread to the shoulder on the left side or very rarely to the right shoulder, and it might even spread down the left hand, which is very common. Equally common is spreading towards the neck as well as your jaw region. Very atypically, you might feel a pain in the ear lobules on the back of the between the both shoulder blades in the back spine, in the upper back, and associated you would often feel a kind of a shortness of breath and a profuse sweating. And if these things are occurring together, one has to be alert and seek medical attention as early as possible. Now, talking about the atypical symptom is this pain is towards one side and also doesn't occur without any sweating. Many often there will be symptoms of gastric symptoms in the form of belching, burping, and often people feel that these symptoms are not related to the heart, but very commonly the stomach symptoms or gastric symptoms are associated with the heart attack. So what you have to look out is whether you have a crushing type of pain, whether you have a shortness of breath, and you have a profuse sweating. Profuse sweating is absent generally in a gastric symptom, and therefore if that occurs, one has to seek a medical attention. And it's important that if you see the pain is increasing in the time that you are observing for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes or half an hour, an increasing symptom should always allow you to seek medical attention as early as possible at the nearest place.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Anantra Mitra, could you just tell us the investigation and what is the necessity to do a yearly annual checkup, cardiac reviews?
Fantastic. Now, some of these things we talked about, especially the hypertension, high blood pressure and diabetes, sometimes may not have much symptoms until they have an end organ damage, that is a heart attack, a stroke or a kidney failure. So anybody more than 35 or with family history of hypertension and diabetes, they should definitely get a routine checkup, which should include a checking of their blood pressure, heart rate, as well as basic blood tests to check their sugar, cholesterol, kidney function, liver function, and then an ECG and an echo. If they have any suggestion of any chest pain or breathing difficulty, then they should do a treadmill test. If everything is normal, then they can delay the next checkup for at least another 2 to 3 years. But if some abnormality is found in that test, then it's better to have at least an annual checkup, that is once a year, or earlier, depending on the physician's recommendation, based on what abnormality is being found.
So in case the treadmill is positive, sir, if the treadmill is positive, does it really comment that the patient is having a coronary artery disease?
Thank you, Dr. See, the positivity of the treadmill and the significance of treadmill depends upon, we say, the pre-test probability. That is, suppose the patient has got diabetes, blood pressure, smoking, family history of heart disease, high cholesterol, and patient comes with chest pain, goes to treadmill, 100% he has to do an annual lab. But somebody is doing a routine treadmill and it comes at positive, it all depends upon what stage it is becoming positive and how much is the changes, how long it lasted after the treadmill. There are a lot of factors which we look at there before deciding that whether this patient needs angiogram or not. However, if the treadmill is positive, majority of the time we do a coronary angiogram to rule out coronary artery disease, which is the safest and the simplest way of ruling out any serious coronary artery disease.
So usually public have a little anxious angiogram is only one way bio under this. So they say angiogram, doctor, naanga nalla thana irukom. That is how they react to us. So could you just make it a little simplified way of what is angiogram, sir, for them to understand? Is it just a daycare procedure? What is the difference between an angiogram and angioplasty?
See, angiogram is a very simple procedure nowadays. Olden days we used to do on the groin, so the patient has to stay in the hospital for 24 to 48 hours and everything. Nowadays very, very simple, just like taking an x-ray. You have to come to the hospital morning on an empty stomach. We do the procedure, it takes maybe 15 to 20 minutes. It's a painless procedure. It is done through the wrist. A wrist bandage is given to the patient. We observe the patient for 1 hour and patient can go home. So it's just like coming to the hospital, taking an x-ray and go back. So it's absolutely safe procedure, simple procedure, and it's a painless procedure. So So it is so it's very easy to do, simple for the patient. That difference between angiogram, it's a diagnostic test. It's a test which will tell you where is the block, how many blocks are there, how serious is the block, whether it can be managed with medicines, or whether you need a procedure like angioplasty with stenting or bypass surgery. Now, angioplasty means angioplasty is a treatment. Angiogram is only a diagnostic test. Our angioplasty is a treatment where we pass a balloon, open the block. But as you know, the coronary arteries are, the arteries are elastic or like rubber band, if they close. So to prevent that, we put a stent, a medicated stent, to act as scaffolding so that the artery will not collapse, it will not get blocked. So angiogram is only a diagnostic test to find out where is the block, how serious is the block, whether you need an intervention. And angioplasty is a management, it's a treatment where you remove the block, clean the tube and put a stent. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So when the young, so most of the younger patients are a choice of patients for angioplasty, sir, or do younger patients also are going in for bypass surgery these days? Could you add on to that, Dr. Sujit, sir?
Diseases concerned, we look at, as sir was telling, we look where the blocks are and how many vessels. Mainly there are three main blood vessels which supply the heart. So if it is at the very origin of the main vessel itself, as well as all three vessels, all the three major vessels are involved, or particularly if somebody's heart function is bad, when you have a pumping problem. These are the circumstances where bypass surgery would be recommended in preference to stenting. So in all other circumstances, most of the time stenting would be possible, and modern stents are as good as the grafts we do in surgery. So only for these selected groups, we advise bypass surgery, especially in young population.
Okay, sir. And how is the lifestyle after the bypass, sir? So for the younger age group, is there any newer advances in doing the cardiac surgery?
Sure. So the traditional way of doing the bypass surgery used to be cutting the breastbone, the middle bone, the chest bone we call it, and splitting the chest and doing the grafts. But that leaves a lot of problems for the patient, at least for the short term. Means we close the bone with wires, and we need to be careful for at least 1.5 to 2 months after surgery. They should not be lifting heavy weights, and they can't drive. So these used to be the restrictions before, but nowadays we have other modifications. We have got keyhole surgery, or it's called the minimal access surgery, where we don't cut any bone. We just we put a small cut on the side of the chest without cutting any bone. And through that, we'll be able to do maybe 1 or 2 grafts. So if that patient needs other treatment to other vessels, then called a hybrid procedure, where we'll do one graft through this and the rest of the vessels can be managed by stent. So like what we do here, we have a hybrid.
The stay is a little shorter in the hospital.
The advantages are that the cut, no major bone is cut, the pain will be lesser. So they'll be, their ICU stay as well as hospital stay will be lesser, and as a result they can quickly go back to work, and there are not much restrictions as compared to standard bone cutting surgery.
Thank you, sir.
So that is one of the recent advances in bypass surgery.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Dr. Manoj, as a physician in the OPD, when I see patients, they have young patients especially, they have been advised by cardiologists to start their medications. But it will be, we googled and read, there are so many side effects for these medications. I do not want to take statins, so I stopped it 3 months ago. I stopped these medications. I just want to go back to lifestyle modification. Is it correct for these youngsters to stop medications? Because of the Google and reading, they do have this anxiety that these medications will give them side effects on a longer term. So what is your advice for these youngsters, sir?
I think, Dr. Kavita, when you look at a comprehensive approach for patients with young patients with heart disease, we have to understand that whether they are smoking currently, whether they have metabolic other associated diseases in the form of glucose intolerance or diabetes, and also very importantly to look at the lipid levels. So these are very three important aspects, and there is a significant scope for changing all these and modifiable, because it's importantly these three risk factors like smoking, cholesterol, and also the glucose related metabolic disorders in the form of impaired glucose tolerance, diabetes, if they have, are significantly modifiable risk factors, and we can achieve a better control on all these three risk factors, we can significantly bring down the risk of heart disease in future in this group. But nevertheless, there are a group of people who really require medicines, and after about 3 months or 4 months of lifestyle changes, is often finding that the difficult to sustain the lifestyle changes throughout in a consistent way, and often medications will be required. And there comes the educational value of the patient. We have to counsel them, counsel the spouse, the family members who are really taking care of the patient, and it goes a long way by impressing on the patient and the family members that the role of medicines is very, very important. Of course, they have to look out for the side effects, but for the fear of side effects, if you don't take the medicines, there is not going to be a beneficial effect from the medicine. So it's important that medicines are essential when it requires to be taken, but in many of them, in early ages and early stages, we could be treating them with therapeutic lifestyle changes, with exercise, better diet control, and we can fuel the body and heart with a very balanced diet, which is rich in fibers, vegetables, fruits, and nuts, and less of red meat and saturated fat, and avoiding deep fried items, cheese, butter, ghee, and you can certainly take fish and chicken, preferably without much of frying, and stay active by doing regular physical exercises. When you talk about physical exercises, it's very relevant that you do in a consistent and a regular manner, about 30 minutes a day, either in the form of brisk walking, jogging, cycling. You can do dance, you can do rope skipping, swimming if you know to do that. And these are very important aerobic forms of exercises, and will go a long way. Each step is very important and should be done on a regular routine way. You use the staircases to climb upstairs rather than using the elevators. If you're healthy enough to walk upstairs, you do that. And these are very important to maintain your healthy body mass index and reduce your body weight if you're obese. And also consult your family physicians on a regular basis to understand the health of your heart, health of your body, and understand your blood pressure and the glucose levels and how best these are well controlled.
Thank you, sir. So would you like to add on this? Because most of the patients have non-compliant with medication. So would you like to add a comment, sir?
No, most medicines are chemicals, and there will be some minimal side effects. But obviously, not all people will get side effects. The important thing is to, when doctor prescribes it, it's to adhere with that. And if you are really having limiting side effects, rather than stopping, you consult with your doctors. There are alternatives available, like blood pressure medicines. There are about 10 different blood pressure medicines we can use. We usually start with one medicine for a particular age group. If the patient is not tolerating because of seriously limiting side effect, we can change it to another one, rather than simply stopping it and then not informing your doctor. That's very important. Otherwise, most of the other side effects will settle down. These minor side effects will settle down over a period of time once you continue with the medicines. Especially these heart failure medications we give for where the heart is not pumping effectively, you will have some side effects, some giddiness or some sort of cramps in the legs, all those things. But once you continue with that over a period of time, it will settle down and then you will start to feel the benefit of it. So that initial period might be difficult for 2 to 3 weeks, but after that it will show the real benefit and you will see the heart pumping better and you will feel overall better. So whenever there is a medicine prescribed, please discuss with your doctor if you are having any issues before stopping on your own account. That's very important.
Thank you, sir. And Suresh Kumar, sir, this is the challenging thing is we see in the OPS. Doctor, we have to continue the medicines. But how long do we have to continue? Is it lifelong? That's the next question they ask us. So what is your guidance for these patients, sir?
Okay, thank you, Dr. Kavira. See, the people with diabetes, blood pressure, high cholesterol and cardiac disease has to take medicine lifelong. People used to come to our OPD and say that, Doctor, I am doing very well. Is it necessary to continue the medicine? You are doing very well. Your BP is under control. Sugar is under control because you are taking these medicines. If you stop the medicines, everything will come back within a few weeks. So you have to understand that all these diseases like diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, and cardiac diseases, you have to take medicine lifelong. This is the common question which you used to get during this COVID period, where people is hesitant to come to the hospital. They call us and tell that I am doing well, but is it necessary to continue the medicine? You have to continue the medicine lifelong.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. And the other important thing what I want to discuss, sir, many people do not have the access to the hospitals. They would have gone on a holiday, it would be a Sunday, they will have certain symptoms of mild chest pain or burping, and they will just take it very light. And they will just say, doctor, we couldn't get an access to a doctor that day. So what is your advice for people who go for holidays and on Sundays, if they have any atypical chest pain, what is it, the first aid, what they should do? And
also
you can add on.
Yeah, sure. So whenever you have symptoms, let it be Sunday or whether it is 9 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the midnight, you should not ignore it. Especially if it's a new symptom and if you are having pain in the chest or any related symptoms, you should seek help. And if possible, you go to the nearest hospital and get one ECG done so that heart attack can be diagnosed early. That is the main thing. Because the main killer is heart attack. If you don't treat it within the first sort of golden hour, the risk of dying is more than 30-40%. And at least 30% of the patients don't make it to hospital after chest pain before getting the first ECG. So don't ignore such symptoms. Once you go there, if it is found that ECG is normal, then they'll reassure you. Then you can finish your holiday and come back. But don't wait for the holiday to be over to get an ECG. That is the main message.
Thank you, sir. So please add up.
This is a common problem which we see again in our practice. People say, when his father had a chest pain and that was a Sunday, we don't know what to do, you are not available or it was a holiday. Please remember that all hospitals will have an emergency department. All hospitals globally, everywhere in the world, will have an emergency department. So you have to come to the emergency and there will be a casualty medical officer. He will see you, he will record your vital signs. And he will get your history and he will take a simple thing, if the cardiac problem, ECG and blood test. Most of the problems can be diagnosed with that. Please remember that ECG is a simple test, very cheap test, which is available everywhere, even in the nook and corner of India. So you should not be hesitant to go to a hospital, nearest hospital, take one ECG and a simple blood test called troponin test. It is again, it's available everywhere. That will tell you whether you have an acute cardiac problem or not. If it is there, then you take further steps. If it is not there, maybe you can go to your house and come back next day and see your family doctor or see your regular doctor. However, don't hesitate to go to the nearest hospital and take one ECG. It's available everywhere, even on all holidays something. Don't wait.
Thank you, sir. Sir, so we are talking about coming to the emergency of the hospital, but in case they are away and to get access to the hospital is a little difficult or it might take time, do you advise anything on a holiday basis, whether they should carry something with them or something like that, Dr. Manoj?
Well, that's very difficult proposition,
yes,
because when you're going on a holiday, on a leisure, you don't expect that you'll fall sick. But sometimes, yes, it does happen. I had a patient who traveled from here, a young patient, about 41 years, to Bali. And then he was in the middle of the sea for about to go for an underwater sea diving expedition. But on the boat, he had a chest pain. But you know, all these places are tourist spots, well equipped with the medical emergencies and first aids. And it's important that you connect with them, and the tourist guide would help you because they have come across all these necessary medical aids can be provided. And this gentleman was immediately transferred to the land, and he could undergo an angioplasty at the nearest center, and he came back to India in a very healthy state. So all these things are possible. So you have to necessarily take and explain your symptoms to the nearest person you have and your tourist coordinator or the guide. Sometimes, yes, if you can carry some of the medicines like aspirin, it would work, but not necessarily. I have not carried these medicines, so I wouldn't know whether there is any clear-cut recommendations. But somebody who has had a heart disease and on treatment, they should necessarily follow all these medicines, carry adequate stock of these medicines. They should not run out of these medicines. Particularly, if you have had a stent put in recently in about 6 months or lesser, you should necessarily carry your blood thinners. You should take your high blood pressure related medicines. And these are very essential medicines which should be marked in their prescription. And they should be equally educated to understand the benefits of these and should continue wherever and whichever part of the world they are traveling to.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. So heart attacks have become very common, sir. So we know that lifestyle, comorbid like diabetes, hypertension, dyslipidemia, family history, everything plays a major role. But today, youngsters are more vulnerable to these heart attacks. So, like, is it necessary that this heart attack has to be a sudden heart attack, or is it just that they are not taking good lifestyle modifications, non-compliant with medications, and that is why they are coming to this stage? Because people have certain role models as sports people or certain actors who project themselves as fitness freaks, and suddenly on a particular day when a sudden cardiac death occurs to them, they fall back telling that, "Doctor, they were so fit, why did this happen to them?" So is it anything to be concerned about, sir, for the public?
Sure. Now, there are two major aspects. One is, you mentioned about sudden cardiac arrest. And people need to realize that cardiac arrest is different from heart attack. We'll stop. Heart attack is only one cause for a cardiac arrest. You can get cardiac arrest due to multiple other causes. Low oxygen levels like hypoxia, drowning, poisoning, or electrical disturbance in the heart, or muscle problems in the heart. Basically, cardiac arrest means your heart beats so fast that it will not pump blood out of the body. And you will pass out, and over a period of next few seconds, you will die. Medical terms, we call it ventricular tachycardia, ventricular fibrillation. The only treatment that can save the patient is, apart from your resuscitation, is shocking. If you are shocked, you revive the heart. Heart attack is different. Heart attack is where a part of your heart's blood supply, there are three blood vessels, one of them gets blocked, you get a heart attack, and you open that, restore the blood flow, that you come down. Now, when you see in the media, they kind of get confused. He's very fit, he suddenly had a heart attack. Or the end sort of the football player playing, he had an arrest in the field. Most of this can be diagnosed early, because the problems with the heart muscle and the electrical abnormalities, by doing a simple ECG, and if it shows changes of heart muscle thickening, you can do the echocardiogram, that is ultrasound of the heart. You will pick up they have got abnormal thickening of the heart muscle without high blood pressure in less than 40 years old, or they would have had a history, family history of somebody dying suddenly without no obvious reasons. These are particularly specific problems. These are related to genetic mutation, very simple single mutation in that family. And if one person in the family has it, it will be passed on to the next generation. 50% of the family members will have it. And it's easily diagnosable. Previously, the genetic testing was not available. Now it is readily available, and the cost is also less. And each of these mutations are very specific for that family. We call it family mutations. Once we identify the person who is affected with that mutation, screening the whole family for that mutation is very, very cheap. It costs only about 2,000, 3,000 rupees. Okay. The initial testing will cost about 15,000 for that patient. But once you identify the family mutation, then it's very cheap. The advantage of that is you don't need to go through a lifetime of test for the rest of the family if you are negative for that mutation. Okay. But if you are positive for that mutation, even if you don't have the change now, you should continue to have ECG echo at least every 1 to 2 years. Because after adolescent age, before 40 years, most of these people will show the changes. Because the first symptom might be sudden death. So if you diagnose it early, it is curable. They're not curable, it's treatable. You will get a special pacemaker called defibrillator, and this sudden death can be prevented.
Dr. Sir, can you just add on to this, sir?
Yes, this is again to increase awareness, as Dr. Anandraman has said. People should be aware of this problem, because, and again, as Dr. Manoj in his previous session, he has said that in that whatever happened in that football field, see, that they could save the patient because of the effective CPR and giving a DC shock. So everybody, this kind of defibrillator machines, it's called external defibrillator, should be ideally available in all the airports, railway stations, and big shopping malls. It's there in all foreign countries. So that's why how we extrapolate this campaign to the public, so that we can save lives by an effective and immediate treatment.
Thank you, sir. So now, as we are coming to the end of the session, sir, so I would like to all to give you your valuable feedback, take-home message. So lifestyle is important, making your diabetes under control, your BP under control, your cholesterol under control, and in case you have a family history of heart disease or sudden cardiac death in the family,